And with that, let's get on to today's program. Again, we're speaking here with the Bonner County District 3 candidates, Ron Korn, the Republican, and Glenn LaFay, the Independent. And I want to say thank you, Ron and Glenn, for being in today. And Ron, you come first alphabetically, so you're going to start out here.
All right.
Give us about 2 minutes opening statement and tell us a bit about yourself. Introduce yourself to folks and also tell us why you're running.
Well, my name's Ron Korn. I'm running for Bonner County Commissioner. I'm actually your appointed commissioner right now, filling in for the vacancy from Commissioner Luke Aumont. But I've been here for 27 years or so. I'm a Christian conservative, and I'm concerned with the loss of our liberties here in Bonner County that I've witnessed in the time that I've lived here. Tons of community service over the decades with Bonner County Sheriff Search and Rescue, the Veterans Stand down here locally. I sit on the board of the Panhandle Preparedness Expo. I also rallied the troops in 2020 when COVID came, and we were able to save our Independence Day celebrations here in Sandpoint. I'm a retired business owner. I come with a fiscally conservative mind. I bring that to government, which I think is a very positive thing these days. And I just want to try and fix things. One of my attributes, I think, is I'm a problem solver. Being in business for most of my life, that's something that I've had to deal with on a daily basis, is solving problems when they arise. And that's really a big part of being a county commissioner, is you're going to meetings, you're trying to figure out what's going on, and you're solving problems, you're solving issues. It's problem solving 101, if you will. So I've enjoyed the job since I've been in there for 3 weeks now. It has opened my eyes a lot to our county employees. I am amazed at the people that we have working and representing our county. It's all behind the scenes and we don't get to see it. You know, if we show up at a Tuesday business meeting, it goes unsaid and unseen. But I want to just do a big shout out and a big kudos to all of the county employees and all their hard work and dedication to our community. What I want to do moving forward, hopefully if I'm elected for the next 4 years, is continue my service as a community organizer, if you will, and give back to the people. That's one thing that got me into this in the first place, was I just saw a lack of transparency. I saw a lack of decorum, obviously, which we'll talk about later. I saw a lack of liberties. Every day, it seems like more and more of our liberties are being stripped. When I came here 27 years ago, I moved here because I saw that, I'm not going to say we didn't have rules, but we were free. We could do what we wanted to do with our properties, and now it's not so. So that's one of the main reasons I'm stepping in here.
Okay. Thank you for that, Ron Korn. Glenn LaFay, same to you. Give us an opening statement. Tell us a bit about yourself and your qualifications, and why are you running?
Okay. My name's Glenn LaFay. I'm running for Bonner County Commissioner. I've lived here for most of my life, which is somewhere around 58 years. My father's generation is, or my father's family is fourth generation North Idahoan. So I've been in North Idaho all my life. I've got history that goes back four generations, just on my father's side. Now on my grandfather's side, it goes back a little bit further. So I've got a vested interest in the direction the way Bonner County's going. I've worked in the service industry for most of my career, my working life. I have worked in the woods. I've worked in several different ways, in fact, to maintain a lifestyle here in Bonner County, which was not easy for most of the time. I'm an avid outdoorsman. I love to fish. That's one of my favorite things ever. That's my release. That's what I do when I got some off time. I'm also a bird nerd, which, you know, I don't really tell many people that, but I love the outdoors in general.
A bird watcher.
Yeah. Pretty much a hobby naturalist. Used to hunt and fish all this area around here. I just don't recognize the Bonner County that I grew up in. It's changed drastically in the last several years. And everyone knows, and this is kind of dovetailing into why I'm running. Everyone out there that I've spoke with, and everyone knows that addressing land use and growth is one of, if not the number one concern for most of the people in Bonner County. and that's one of my top platforms right there. I think it's also the root of most of the conflicts in the county right now, as far as impacts. It impacts almost every level of the county with the government tax dollars to some degree. Roads, solid waste, you name it, they're all impacted somehow by that land use issue. Yesterday, I was a little bit shocked to understand that Ron here, he doesn't think we need building location permits in some cases, or eliminating the Panhandle Health, ensuring proper septic systems are in place for homes. Well, that to me right there says that this is opposite of good planning. Anyway, I'm committed to looking into solutions for all of these things. I've had a lot of conversations with the folks of Bonner County, and I look forward to representing them.
Thank you. That's Glenn LeFay, the independent for Bonner County Commission. So we're going to give you guys a couple minutes as we get into our questions here, and for each answer. And if you want to make a rebuttal, just wave at me.
I'd like to make a rebuttal on his statement since he mentioned my name.
Sure, go ahead with that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Take about a minute in these rebuttals, and okay, then we'll get on to questions.
So, Glenn, you mentioned that I'm against BOPs, and I never said that I'm against BOPs, and you said that I'm against the Panhandle Health District. I'm not against them. What I'm against is I want to get Panhandle Health out of our county BOPs, because Panhandle Health has no oversight, no overwatch. There's no one accountable to them. If you have a problem with Panhandle Health, and they're in our language for a BOP, the only recourse you have is going to the commissioners. And the commissioners do not have any way of overseeing Panhandle Health because it's a state agency and they're run by DEQ. And when asked who they answer to, they couldn't give me a clear answer. So I want to get their language out of the county's BOPs. They can stay in there as far as part of the process, but it needs to be a separate process, not part of the county's BLP. Maybe they go there first like it used to be. It used to be where you had to go get signed off by Panhandle Health, and then you would come and apply for a BLP. That way, they're two separate entities, and that's the way it should be when the county commissioners are the ones that are going to be held responsible for their decisions that we can't affect.
Okay. And Glenn, you get another minute if you'd like to.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Well, first question here is, and Glenn, you kind of got into this. We're going to rotate with who goes first, so you're first on this one, Glenn. What do you consider the biggest issues in the county commission race that you think voters should be considering? And that you got 2 minutes on that
one. Yeah, well, of course, I think that the land use issues are definitely a big problem for most of us, but that's not exactly the only issue that's out there. Based on conversations I have been having regularly, the public is also concerned about preventing increased taxes, access to public lands, which are being diminished in some cases, and having a professional BOCC that they can trust. And also weird and unregulated, well, not necessarily unregulated, but property tax assessments. All those issues right now are a big deal to me and to the people of Bonner County, at least from what I'm hearing. I don't have answers to all these questions, you know. I do have the desire to concentrate my efforts on getting these situations remedied or at least looked at to where public input is part of it. I just want to ensure also that we have access to our public lands, existing public lands, stop vacating roads that lead to public land and water. I think that's a huge issue there. And just those vacated lands right now just end up being gated private developments. You know, for example, you used to be able to drive out to Camp Bay and even drive out there and see the lake. Right now, they've got it set up. I mean, the trail system is in place right now, but previously, you wouldn't even be able to see the lake. You wouldn't even be able to drive through that subdivision there and actually see the lake. I mean, so I want to maintain that kind of aspect with the county and for the people of the Bonner County. I think those land vacations are really kind of detrimental to a lifestyle that we've all grown accustomed to here. That's about it, really. I mean, I do have other issues as well, but I think the main issues are land use, except, you know, and I've talked about that on and on and on and on.
Okay. Ron Korn, same question to you. What do you think are the biggest issues in the commission race?
Well, I believe that everybody would agree with me when it comes to this. I think the biggest issue that we've been facing over the last couple of years is our lack of decorum in our business meetings. And it seems like the arguing and all that has been going on, we're not getting a lot of business out of our business meetings. It's been counterproductive. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to run when I was seeing all that. And it can be fixed. And to be honest with you, Chris, it has been fixed. My second day in office, I think anybody can go back and look at the videos. Everything's on YouTube if you want to go back and look at the history. The decorum is back in our public meetings, which I'm proud of. Professionalism, respect amongst the Board of Commissioners and to the people sitting out there in the audience. Also on the second day, I was able to participate and vote on bringing back the people's First Amendment rights on the agendized items. That was a huge contested thing in the last year and a half. So now the public can interact as they should with their local government on every issue on the agenda. So I'm very proud of that in the first couple of weeks.
By that mean accepting public comment.
Accepting public comment on each agendized item, mm-hmm. which was taken away a year and a half ago with the new board that came in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. Anything else you want to bring up at this point?
No, fiscally responsible. We're looking at cutting credit cards. There's credit cards that are issued out to a lot of the county employees that, you know, should not be out there. So we're looking into that. We're recalling some of those and making people answer to their actions. There's been some spending going on with the new building there that should not be going on. It's our job as county commissioners to make sure that the people's money is spent wisely and for the people, not for just individuals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. That's Ron Korn. Okay, Ron, you're first on this question. I have a couple of questions off the top. Actually, goes into one of the issues that Glenn already brought up, having to do with private property rights versus, you know, public rights. And the county commissioners just last week took up discussion about the easement for the Camp Bay Trail, which was provided by the developers in the place of the road easement that previously existed, had been there for the count for all residents to use for over a century as public access to the lake. So that decision went through some litigation. It's done, although there's some questions about whether the issue could come back to lie. But had you been on the commission at that time, where would you have stood on vacating that road to Camp Bay?
So with all the information that I have right now, I would not have vacated that road. It does not seem to make sense for the public interest, which is who we're representing, to vacate that road. It was giving access down to the lake. There was always a question of whether the access went all the way to the water. I think that was part of the litigation, which they never really ruled on that. So I am against giving up any public property or any public right-of-ways, especially for something like this. It looks like the wheels got greased to me and most other people when a big developer comes in from out of state and he has an interest in this, and the county goes ahead and turns over an easement such as Camp Bay, and then they build a multi-million dollar property out there, and it's now a gated community. And that would not have been able to have happened if the county wouldn't have vacated that road. So I would have been against it. I'm not for it. And what came out of it was a public trail, which, yes, it is a public trail. We can use it. There were some rules attached to it. There was some discussion last week, as you said. I believe they've gone back and they've taken away the rules. We haven't seen it yet. It's going to come before us again. And we do have now a deeded access to the water, which is part of the discussion. Did we actually have that before or not? But short answer to your question would be no, I would not have vacated that road.
Okay. Glenn LaFay, same question to you. Had you been on the council at that time, the commission at that time, would you have voted to vacate that road to Camp Bay?
I would have voted no for sure. I mean, I could ape what Ron just said for sure. That is definitely something that I want to look into and be part of in decisions like that. I just have no idea why that was vacated. That is absolutely not in the best interest of Bonner County residents. It was a huge mistake. And, you know, like my opponent says, you know, there was probably some wheels being greased there. That it just seems crooked. The optics on that whole thing was ridiculous. And to be honest, that's kind of why I started following the Bonner County Commissioners a little bit more. This was two administrations ago. So this was in the middle of a previous administration. So I've been following land use laws and land use issues with Bonner County now for several years. So that's why it's so close to me. I mean, this I felt compelled to run under issues like this. So this was really what really kind of bums me out about the whole situation. That land is lost now forever. It's been brutalized to a certain extent. It's not the same chunk of land that it used to be. It used to be beautiful, quiet, serene access. People used to go out there all the time and use that lake from there. I mean, there's very few limited accesses to the lake as it is for Bonner County residents. I mean, sure, you could go to certain places, but there's not that serenity, that ability to absorb nature as you're supposed to. And that vacation of that land right there is one of my biggest pet peeves with the way the Bonner County is running.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Well, Glenn, let's jump into another question that's really on the private property rights spectrum, if you will. So the commissioners last summer approved a conditional use permit for the Panhandle Bike Ranch. That's on the 170 acres in Sagal off of the East Dufort Road. It's going to have a trail system for mountain bikers plus 10 campsites. Then the owner's planning to have this going next year. The proposed use falls within the county zoning for the property and within the comprehensive plan, but neighbors were opposed to this due to the anticipated impacts there in their neighborhood. So it was a case of the property owner wanting to exercise his private property rights to have the bike path and bike park versus neighbors who didn't want those impacts on the neighborhood. It's a done deal now, but where would you have stood on that question had it come before you on the commission?
Well, that would have gone right. I would have said no, absolutely not. I'm all for outdoors. I used to mountain bike all the time. I used to compete in mountain bike racing. I think that there were the conditional use permits that were put on it. I think that was even a loophole that was taken advantage of on that proposal. I feel for those people that live out there in that area. That's a beautiful area. Again, those people bought that property and have lived in that property with that zoning as it was, probably ag forest, if I'm not mistaken. And then this company comes in, or these group of people come in and want to change the dynamic of that area. That's going to be an issue, I think, in a couple different aspects. Mark my words, I'll bet you money they ended up putting a light there at Dufort Road, which is going to be a good thing, but there's going to be a lot more traffic coming through there on East Dufort into that area. So I'm opposed to that. I think they should have stuck with the zoning that was there in the first place. I mean, you have issues with septic right now that I don't even know that are going to be fulfilled. There's a couple different things that that need to be, or that should have been looked at, that were ignored. I mean, you had several hours of public testimony against it, and yet it was still okayed. So the public consensus was it's ridiculous. I mean, there are a group of people, you know, and probably if I was a younger guy and wasn't totally involved with public use and land use and stuff like that, I probably would have said yes, you know, 15, 20 years ago. But as I think of the long term for Bonner County, that's kind of an issue right now that I would have said no wholeheartedly.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Glenn. Ron Korn, same question to you. Had you been on the commission when the Sagal Bike Park question came up, how would you have voted?
So here's what I see on that. I see that they were allowed to fall under the label of resort, which allowed them to use that zoning that they were in and along with some conditional uses in order to do that business. I think the appropriate thing would have been to rezone that property or apply to rezone that property into a commercial zone, because they were wanting like 180 vehicles a day driving up that to that piece of property. to me, that's a commercial business. Obviously, it's the public is there. I actually drove out there to take a look at it so I could wrap my head around it. And driving out to the property, you pass three or four houses on that looped road there. And the houses are literally 75 feet off the road. It's the dirt road. I could not imagine being one of those property owners living there with their kids playing out there and having 160 to 180 vehicles from out of state, out of town. They don't care about our community. They're throwing trash out their car, driving past their property to go ride their bikes. I'm not opposed, you know, to outdoor activities, but it needs to be done in a correct way. It should have been applied for a rezone for commercial, which there's some more stringent rules that you have to go through to do that. What happened, though, like I said earlier, was instead they fell under the loophole of a resort. They were allowed to do it with conditional use permits. The hearing examiner put conditional uses on them. She reduced the number of vehicles from 160 to 70 or 80 vehicles a day. She limited the hours of use. She limited the time of use. She limited the calendar year of use. What she was trying to do was allow them to still have their property rights, per se, and still support the property rights of the neighbors, trying to find a happy medium, if you will. They appealed to those conditional uses, and that was the big hearing that Glenn, I think, was referring to out there at the fairgrounds. And I attended that. It was huge, hundreds of people, and it seemed like the testimony of the people was not listened to. It was not heard. And the last Board of Commissioners voted to overturn every one of those conditions that the hearing examiner put on. So now it's good to go, carte blanche.
Okay. Well, that was a revisit to a couple of issues that came up before the commissioners previously. One issue that you guys will face if you get in there is the county's been working on a comprehensive plan update for quite some time. And I guess my question here would be, and it goes first to you, Glenn, on this one. Now, excuse me, first to you, Ron, on this one. What priority do you place on getting the comprehensive plan update accomplished?
It's a huge priority. So we all know that our county is growing by leaps and bounds. It started back in 08 or so, but it's really grown since COVID because people are wanting to move here because of the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy that they don't enjoy in other places. So how are we going to deal with this growth? We do need, we need to finish the comp plan. What we need is better definitions. People are always asking me, well, how are these people allowed to rezone their property? They're allowed to rezone their properties right now because the rules that are in place spell out specifics that are required for certain zones. And if they're in an R20, for instance, and they want to split into two 10s and they look at the description of their property and it fits the description, the county's description of an R10, they have every right to apply for a rezone and split that property. So we need to take a closer look at those descriptions, if you will, and see if we can work on that. Do we need to spell out the intent of the zoning? Because it's not really spelled out very well. It's descriptions. So if the county zones your property and it doesn't fit the description that it fits in currently, if the county does not allow the property owner to rezone their property, then the county opens up themselves to a lawsuit because the county is not following their own rules.
Okay. Glenn LaFay, same question to you. How do you prioritize finishing up the comprehensive plan update?
I do appreciate what is happening now with the Planning Commission and and all the work they've done. I mean, they are volunteers. But I'm generally not confident with the direction that the new comp plan is going. And I'm not sure that it represents the public's concerns adequately. The changes have taken place over 2 years now. And the public hasn't been included. The previous comp plan, the public was included, and we had sub-area groups that actually contributed to the development of the comp plan. So I think that should be considered The sub-area groups are, you have a group of people from, say, Blanchard, down in the rural agricultural area, and then you got folks up in the north in the Priest Lake area, in Timbered, and then Selly Valley with Ag Forest, and then the Clark Fork area. So all these different geographical and geological areas of our county are needed to be taken into consideration. You can't just go in there willy-nilly and start zoning things without having at least some public input and look at what's going on. Another thing I do is I recommend a professional planning consultant to come in and kind of put their eyes on it and to see which direction we need to go, and also take that public input. I mean, there's reams of public input out there that hasn't been used at all. They got to get it right, and then we have to follow that comp plan precisely. There will be variations, of course. Nothing is written in stone, but the comp plan for me represents kind of our constitutional look at things and on how to run the county and our land. So I'd like to revise the code to close up those loopholes that are out there, the CUPs, the rezones, and the variances. All that needs to be taken into consideration, and I think that's the direction I would like to see the comp plan process go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Glenn. And Glenn, you go first on this question. It's actually one that Ron brought up earlier. Yeah, the relations between commissioners have been rocky. A lot of the weekly commissioner meetings have devolved into some big arguments with attending residents, not just between commissioners over the last couple of years. It led at one point to two local residents being trespassed from county property. So what do you think are the issues, are the reasons that we have such deep divisions there, and what steps might you take to make the climate of the commissioner meetings more civil and productive?
Well, the antics, I guess you could say, of the previous administration, not Ross's current administration, but his filled vacation seat of those two commissioners and Asia Williams in there. I think that it was just a combative environment for everybody. Everybody wanted to... I'm trying to think of a word that's not vulgar, but it turned into a contest to a certain extent on whose voice was going to be the loudest. And unfortunately, that turned to the chairperson in some extent. It seemed that nothing was getting, well, general business was getting done, but anything else was just kind of thrown to the wayside, and it became a pretty biased vote. That handed throughout the last couple years. With that aside, I think that I could go in there with a communication level and be able to adapt and get some stuff done. Having been in communications for a number amount of years, and also developing relationships with a clientele base in retail, etc., and also listening to the people on the floor, you get a good insight on how to communicate and how to do it effectively and how to problem solve, I have no problem with anybody on the commission or the potential commissioners as well. Mm-hmm. I have a pretty good working, talking relationship, not a working relationship, but a amicable relationship. Heck, I even talk to Ron every now and then too. So it's not like we're not like adversarial or anything like that, and I appreciate everybody's efforts, of course, and some people just aren't meant for the position. And mm-hmm. I think that was a case in some of that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ron, you did speak to this earlier, but would you like to expand on this a little bit more? What do you think caused such deep divisions, and the steps to take to make the climate of those commissioner meetings more civil and productive?
So, I think that everybody would agree. Glenn hit on all the points there. What I bring to the table, again, one of my skill sets is being able to build bridges, not walls. And I think that has already shown in the first 3 weeks that I've been in office. Actually, within the first week, as I said earlier, as far as bringing back the people's speech, calming things down. I didn't even like going to the meetings before in person, because the air, you could cut the air with a knife in there. The tension was so high. There were electeds and there were county department directors that didn't want to go to the live meetings because of the same reason. And it's ludicrous that our county government, those are our representatives sitting in there. They need to work together. They need to figure out some way to work together. You don't have to like each other. You don't have to go out to lunch. But the people are paying you to sit in that chair to represent their voice. When you're at work, you need to take your personal hat off, put your business hat on, and get along with the person sitting next to you. That's what the people expect. That's what the people want. And that's what I'm going to give them.
Okay. Thank you, Ron. And if you've just tuned in, this is the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show. And today we are talking with the two candidates for District 3 Bonner County Commission, Ron Korn and Glenn LaFay. So let's get into an issue that did cause a great deal of conflict in the last couple of years. Ron, you're first on this one. And that has to do with the fairgrounds. The sheriff published a report last year indicating that a bunch of money, I mean, up to over $200,000 of fairground funds were misappropriated, specifically through fraud by a late fair director. The County Fair Board issued a release last fall claiming that the commissioners and county clerk Mike Rosedale were to blame. The commissioners voted to hire an outside audit. And before that, a proposed RV park at the fairground stoked a lot of conflict between the sheriff and the fair board. Well, actually, the sheriff and the county commissioners, and a $473,000 grant from the state to actually build a RV park there at the fairgrounds was withdrawn. So my question here would be, how will you look to move forward with relations with the sheriff and the fair board as relates to the fairgrounds?
Good question. So there's a lot of history in that question. It goes back a couple of boards, actually, with one of the prior commissioners and the sheriff. And there was an obvious personal rift there. And it continued into the last board because the one past commissioner supported the new commissioner that was sitting in there. So that rift has continued. Since I've been in there, I'm hoping that things change. I'm not controlled by anybody. I don't pick sides. Again, like I said, I'm trying to build bridges. I'm not pro-sheriff. I'm not pro-past establishment. I'm my own person. I'm representing the people. And I want to make sure that I bring that separate view to the table. So I'm not sure. I'm not going to speak about the monies or anything. I'm not sure if that might still be in litigation or not, and I don't want to compromise anything on that. What I do see is the fair board itself has some house cleaning, if you will, to do, and they're actually looking into a few things right now. It's Bonner County is kind of unique in a way because a lot of things have just been done business as usual. And that's not the correct way to do it these days. And in the past, it seems that the county has been paying for the fairgrounds, utility bills, water, electricity, and such. But yet the fairgrounds brings in X amount of dollars every year that they're off of the fair, off of the camp spaces and everything else. And so now we're looking into who is actually responsible for paying those utility bills when you have an entity such as the fairgrounds making money. So I think that comes before us in the next week or two to decide who's going to be paying those utility bills. As far as the campground goes, that was kind of another rift between, like I said, the earlier commissioner and the sheriff because they were fighting over that piece of land. The sheriff wants to expand his facilities, and the campground being in that same location was blocking that. So I hope that issue can be put to rest. And we can utilize the county's property properly for the best interest of the people.
Okay. Thank you, Ron. Glenn, same question to you. How do you see moving forward with the fairgrounds?
Well, a little backstory on that, you know, that was a tragic accident or a tragic incident for sure for everybody involved. What I would have done was, I think the new proposal should not have come forward after that situation for a couple reasons. First of all, the should have let the dust settle. There was not a board director for the fairgrounds at that time. Before any grants or anything else were approved, we needed to consider what was going on there. It should have been pushed out and extended that grant for the RV park. That wasn't done. Going forward, I hope that all parties can get together and come to a compromise what to do with that land. I hope I can help facilitate that. I think that that was a pretty controversial thing right now, and that land is a very big part of what's going on right now in Bonner County. Like I said, the dust should have settled a little bit and then taken a good look at it once you had a fair board involved. And as far as the RV park is concerned, I don't think that it was properly represented to the people and to the board. I think that when the potential for revenue came into play, I don't think that was, you know, that was like 365 days a year every, you know, for as if each one of those units was rented. So it was an exorbitant, you know, cost. I mean, there's no way that that kind of money is going to be generated and made by the county. And then that leads to another thing about the county kind of stepping in and putting in an RV park and competing with actual people that are out there, you know, that do have legit RV parks, you know, out there in the public. So there's a couple different things that we need to take a look at. And as far as that land is concerned, I hope we can facilitate communication between the entities involved and come to a compromise. That land can be used beneficially to all parties.
Okay. Thank you, Glenn. Well, you're up next for this question. We're going to change topics. So our county roads are something all the residents use. How well do you think the county is doing in road maintenance as well as improvements, plans for paving some of the rural roads and overall road management within the county?
Well, currently we have 300 miles of hard surface and about 400 miles of dirt. And for most reports, it appears Road and Bridge are doing a great job at keeping up with that kind of work, you know, with the ice and the snow. And but we need to take a look at what's going on with the upcoming needs on development. And it has, there's a lot of development out there that hasn't been built up yet. And as far as I know, and I'm just kind of listening to some of the people that I've spoke with, we're several years behind on infrastructure catch up. So we need to take a look at that. There's a lot of parcels built out there without road standards, and it's causing conflicts related to who's responsible, say for washouts or fires or flooding, emergency services, public safety. All that is an issue there with our roads. And in some of these cases, well, actually in 2017 to 2023, there's an estimated 2,000 new parcels out there that were built using minor land divisions. Now, when a minor land division is set up, they can punch a road in there and then just leave it, you know. So that kind of puts the county in a sticky situation on who is responsible for that land if there is a washout or a culvert washes out or something like that. So that just goes back to more land use issues and something that we need to take a look at there with MLDs and stuff like that. I think we need to make sure our roads are built to standard that involve fixing the code. Not sure exactly how we're going to do that, but it definitely takes some consideration. We need to look into that for sure.
Okay. Thank you, Glenn LaFay. Ron Korn, same question to you. How do you think the county's doing with its road maintenance and upgrade plans?
I personally think they're doing a great job with the roads. I live out in rural Bonner County, and I'm amazed that when I get into town, how crappy the roads are. So a big kudos to our road director. He's doing a great job. He spends a lot of time writing grants and getting grants. That's how a lot of our roads are getting paved these days. He deserves a big shout out, Jason, there. I have not heard any complaints in the past few years with our roads. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I think we'd all agree that everybody pretty much had a complaint. Living in the county, I live on a 9-mile, used to be gravel road that I used to complain to the commissioners about, that their dirt road wasn't up to standard. And the guy at the time that was commissioner jumped down my throat, and he corrected me in his opinion, telling me that Bonner County doesn't have any dirt roads, that they're gravel roads. So I kind of laughed at that. It's like, well, I never seen gravel roads turn into mud before, but whatever. Mm-hmm. They're doing a lot better job. And so here's the deal, and Glenn brought it up to you with the amount of people moving in and the subdivisions and all. One thing that I want to be clear about is I do think that the people, especially the developers, not necessarily a private homeowner, but the developers coming in that are building these larger housing tracts and all, they need to be held responsible fiscally for the road improvements, water improvements, whatever type of improvements that development is going to need so that the money doesn't get pushed off on the taxpayers. That doesn't seem to happen all the time. And a lot of times the county, as far as the commissioners, can't do much about it. When you send a letter out to ITD, for instance, to review a land development out on Highway 200, and they have 30 days to respond. If they don't respond, it's just like, well, then it's known that they have no issues with it. I do think the county needs to take another step and reach out to them again at least a second time and say, we haven't responded. We'd like to hear back from you. And the problem is when they don't respond, then we have to accept that they're okay with it. And then the problem arises later after the development's built. You got road issues, and now either the state or the county's having to fix those at the taxpayer's expense.
Okay, thank you for that. I actually have a fast follow-up question. I'll throw it to you, Ron. So the ITD, the Idaho Transportation Department, has recently released its plan for upgrades to Highway 95 through Sagal. It's going to involve frontage roads. I think I'm seeing underpasses even.
Right.
What do you think of that? And you see a role for the county in helping guide the decision on that?
It's always hard coming in after infrastructure is already built, coming in with such a big plan like that. There's issues with that. With the road that they're proposing, even with county property, it's going to go right through the Duford dump, for instance. It's going to practically go through our county EMS building that sits out there in Sagal. There's a lot of issues that are going to have to be looked at. I think it's just a preliminary drawing, and they're wanting public input and government input on it. In fact, I actually have a meeting in about an hour or two with the ITD to discuss things that are going on. But one of my concerns, and I think it's a lot of other people's concerns, is that I think we can all agree that there's a problem with our Long Bridge. Anytime something happens on the Long Bridge, traffic stops. You can't get into Sandpoint. You can't get out of Sandpoint. That is an immediate issue that needs to be looked at and resolved versus this four-lane road going through Sagal. It's not as much of a priority in most people's opinion as that Long Bridge. So what I'd like to see is a priority change. Let's look at how we're going to deal with the Long Bridge. Are we going to widen it to four lanes so that it doesn't bottleneck there? Fix the problems. We can't get emergency services across that bridge when there's an accident or something. That becomes a public health and safety issue. So I think the number one priority is dealing with the bridge first and then dealing with the road after that.
Thank you for that, Ron. Glenn, same question to you. What's your take on this draft plan for the Highway 95 improvement through Sagal?
I think it's a joke, to be honest with you. I went and looked at it myself, and the way it is situated right now, you have two entrances, two exits, one down by Brisboy, and then the other one further south. So that leads, and then the frontage road cutting through all of the different areas. I mean, that's ridiculous. I think, and call me crazy, but I think slowing down to 45 miles per hour from Duford Road into town, or even through across the Long Bridge, would not be a bad idea to start with. I agree that the bridge needs to be looked at for sure, and possibly building up a four lane stretch there, but it's incongruent to my thinking to come out of Ponderay heading south, and then all of a sudden the speed limit picks up onto a two lane at 55 miles per hour, and then to 60 through Sagal up until the light. So I think slowing down traffic, maybe patrolling a little bit more would be a better idea, at least at this point, and put this thing back on the board and kind of restructure it to a way that is not so detrimental to county property, private property, etc.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for that, Glenn. Well, I'm going to squeeze in one more question, then we'll give you guys a chance to make a closing statement, each of you. And this is something that it's not an issue the county commissioners really can deal with, but it's a question for all voters. And at our forum, it was the most asked question of candidates. So I'm going to give it to you guys. Where do you stand on Proposition 1, the Open Primaries Initiative that would require open primaries and institute ranked choice or instant runoff voting? And Glenn, why don't you go on that one first and just a minute or so on this one.
Okay. Well, as an independent candidate, I'm all for open primaries. I like the idea of open primaries, but unfortunately, ranked choice voting has been added to this open primaries question. The ranked choice voting right now, I think, is a little bit more convoluted. It's not as easy to work with. You have budgetary issues that the county will be faced with. I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm thinking money about how the county is going to pay for that. Where are we going to come up with that? So I'm hedging towards no on this. There's a lot more information that I need to have before I can make a confirmed vote, but I was kind of pressed yesterday to where I would say no. I'm not 100% no on this yet, but as it stands right now on a budgetary issue for the county, I'm at a no right now, at least
okay
in that aspect.
Okay, thank you. Ron, same question to you. Yay or nay on the open primaries initiative?
For me, it's a hard no. It's a no-brainer. Just very simple bullet points real quick. Number one, if ranked choice voting is allowed to come in, then our county clerk can no longer certify the votes. That alone should make everybody relook at this. Open primaries, whatever term you want to put on it. We should say absolutely not. After the debacle of the 2020 elections and we saw all the fraud going on, and now we want to vote that into the state of Idaho and to our local county government. Our county clerk has said that he can absolutely not certify the county votes if we end up going to a ranked choice voting system. So I know it's a very detailed, I went to a presentation last night. There's a lot of cons that I've seen. I haven't seen any pros to it, other than the guys that they're trying to sell this as open primaries, but it's really ranked choice voting. On the issue alone of voter integrity, I would think and I would hope that every American would vote no. For those of the people that want open primaries, I would say go back to the drawing board and draft something else up besides this.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Ron. And let's go to final closing statements. Give you guys a minute or two each to talk about whatever you want to tell the voters to get them on your side for this election. And Glenn, you get to go first.
All right. Well, as being a resident here for all my life and having great communication with the people of Bonner County, I feel like I can represent the people in a way that is beneficial for the people of Bonner County. I love the area. I think not as an environment, but as someone who loves the environment. I'm not out here trying to stop any kind of development. That's inevitable. It's going to happen. But I want to see it controlled. I want to see public comment. I want more public influence. I mean, we're here representing the people of Bonner County. that's what I intend to do. I intend to be a mouthpiece for those people and an advocate for the people of Bonner County as well as for our natural resources. That's a critical part of why people move here. Liberty and that as well. A lot of people are moving here because of that. But I think what it boils down to is the environment that we live in and the love of the outdoors and the beauty that surrounds us. So all of that right there, I will represent the people of Bonner County in that way. Just in a quick mention right now, there's a Schweitzer rezone hearing today at 1:30 at the county building. I advocate for people to go to that and check it out. There is going to be quite a bit of difference in approximately 1,500 acres that could affect the Selly Valley the Sand Creek area, 95 corridor up there by Woods and stuff like that. So the rezones are, I think we need to make an impact by voicing our concerns about that up there as well.
Okay. Glenn LaFay, independent for Bonner County Commissioner. How can people find out more about you? Website or
Glenn Facebook, for BonnerCounty.com. Mm-hmm. You can go to Glenn for 7B on Facebook. And my phone numbers are there. If anybody wants to talk to me, I'm accessible. That's one of my policies, too, is an open door policy. I vow to have that kind of communication with constituents if I'm elected. So, okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Ron Korn. Republican for Bonner County Commissioner District 3. Give us your closing statement.
I just want to thank everybody for tuning in and taking the time to learn a little bit more about your candidates. One of the biggest issues we have nationwide is uneducated voters. And I understand that. I was one too many, many years ago because politics didn't affect my life. That's such a false statement these days. Politics does affect your life no matter who you are. So I ask that everybody get involved, especially at your local level. You are allowed to go to all of the public meetings at the local level, at the county level. Show your support for either side. But just get involved and be a part of your community. Be an asset to your community and just give back a little bit. I want to give a big shout out to Life Choices. I didn't get to mention this earlier, but Life Choices is an organization here locally that actually is donating what they call a baby box to the Bonner County EMS station, to where if a woman or a mother wants to leave her baby, according to state laws, she can leave her baby at a fire station without talking about or giving her name or any information. What we're trying to do is we're trying to save babies from possibly being put in a dumpster, unfortunately, or left out in the forest. So I want to give a shout out to the volunteers of our community, to the charities and the churches of our community that are standing up and being a part of making our community better. I want everybody to understand that what we have in place today is a constitutional republic form of government. I understand the Constitution. I want to uphold the Constitution, state and federally. And I just want to work for the people. I want to bring back our freedoms and liberties. As I said earlier, they've been taken away from us year by year. I'm not a one-issue candidate. There's a lot of issues being a Bonner County Commissioner. And as I said earlier, skill sets that I bring is being in business for myself, fiscally conservative, being able to build bridges, not walls. I look forward to serving the people of Bonner County for the next 4 years if you'll elect me into the Bonner County Commissioner District 3 space. And you can reach me at ronkorn.com. And obviously, we're still accepting donations. It takes money to run a campaign. And just support your candidates and get your voice out there and be heard. Thank you very much for tuning in.
And I want to say thank you to both Ron Korn, Republican, and Glenn LaFay, Independent, candidates for District 3 Bonner County Commission. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Chris.